social media, for some, it's a huge part of their day and their professional activities. For some, it's a necessary evil that's part of their job. For others, it's something to be completely afraid of and avoided. Today, we're talking with a local government social media professional and getting some tips to make social media more accessible for local government. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, President of Wheeler Reports. Today, I'm in Appleton, talking with Chad Doran, Communications Director for the City of Appleton. Hello, Chad.
Hi.
So, what's your background and how did you get started with the City of Appleton?
My background really comes in the journalism world. I was a TV news reporter for about 15 years. So spent a lot of time in Wisconsin and some different markets in Wisconsin and a little bit in Iowa. Came kind of to the local government side from the journalism side when Mayor Hanna here in Appleton created this position of communications coordinator 5 years ago. It was something relatively new. I actually, sort of funny story, spoke to him about this for a story idea, thinking, hey, this is a cool story that I could just, you know, do for my regular job. And talking to him about it sort of got me a little bit interested in it, and went ahead and applied. Thought it was a great fit. Was seemed really interesting, and you know, government works. The hours are a little bit better than you know, the news reporting business. So went through the process. You know, felt more comfortable as we went along doing interviews, talking with the mayor more about it. And his vision really was, he wanted someone to be sort of like a quote unquote reporter for the city, which is really what I had been doing. Thought it was really neat that, you know, the city was interested in putting their own sort of perspective on things and helping push information out to residents and really get them involved and interested in what the city's doing. And so when I was offered the position, didn't take much time to think about it, jumped right at it and thought, hey, this is, you know, now or never to get out of the news business. Haven't looked back since. Love every day. Every day's a slightly different challenge. But I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of get information about what the city's doing in the hands of our residents, help them really be educated about what the city does with their tax dollars and everything else, wanting them to be involved in decision-making processes and giving feedback to us. So it's really fun.
How long have you been here doing this position?
So just over 5 years now, and every day, like I said, is a little bit different, something new. We're always trying new things, trying different challenges to kind of push our efforts forward. It's tough sometimes being a you know, department of one, so to speak, but our other departments do help with communication in some respects. They have social media that they have someone responsible for managing, so I help kind of assist them and show them a little bit how to do things from time to time. You know, they'll help push information our way to help put out to residents. So it's not totally a one-man show by any means, but it certainly has its challenges being sort of one person. There's only so much that you can do in you know, a day, and it's always a challenge, but it's a fun challenge, and you know, we have really gotten good feedback, I think, from the community that they appreciate all the efforts that we make.
That's great. When I started talking with the League and with the County's Association about this podcast, your name was the first one that came to the top of the list, and they said you were excellent at not only promoting the City of Appleton, but again, pushing information out to the public. So, you know, you talked a little bit about how you started talking to the mayor, but how did you go about starting, here's what the communications is going to look like? How did you start that?
Well, it was a totally new world for me 5 years ago, coming from journalism to government. So I had some knowledge of how government worked from just my years of covering it in reporting, and I was really based out of the Fox Valley years, so I spent a lot of time covering the City of Appleton as well. But there was still a lot of learning for me to do and from the inside, learning the function of government, how it works, so that I could help explain that to our residents. It was really a lot of trial and error at first also, you know, trying what things worked and what things didn't. Social media was, it wasn't new by any means at that point, but we didn't even have like a main sort of city Facebook page at that point. So that was one of the things I knew right away that we needed to start. And we kind of went after that. We had used social media in the news business for a number of years already, but even that wasn't still quite to where it is, you know, in today's 2019 times. But I think, you know, having at least a little background in that helped get us going with our own social media presence there. And then, like I said, a lot of it is just trial and error and seeing what worked and what didn't. Taking good notes, which was something that a reporter, you know, always does, and then sort of you know, relying on that to say, hey, this worked. How else can we, you know, play off of that and find some other angle there that, that people might be interested in or might need to know about? And how can we translate what worked there to telling people about this particular story or this project that, that's going on? So it's a lot of effort, especially, you know, just starting out. Not that many people are aware that you're there. Some people probably don't know that you have a website even. So it's a challenge to get residents to come and find you or for you to reach out to them to let them know that you're there. But I think once we've started to establish that, it made the job a lot easier.
What are some of the steps that you've taken to make sure your residents do know that you're there? I mean, are you reaching out through the library, through the schools, through businesses? How are you going about doing that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things that I did just personally was go around and meet with, you know, a lot of key people in our community, business leaders, our organizations, just to let them know, like, hey, the city now has this communications position. We want to help you guys, you know, be part of the community. We want your help in helping the residents know that we're here for them too. So it, trying to form those partnerships right at the beginning was really key. Then sort of going forward, it was a lot of, you know, just building that social media presence. You know, asking people to follow your page, your friends and your family, and hey, tell your friends and family to follow us. We're here now too. And then either that's just how social media grows. The more content that you put out, especially when it's engaging content, interesting stuff to people, the more people will start to follow it. And so we've done, I think, a pretty good job of that, you know, building that going forward. We've got one of the biggest followings in the state for our Facebook page, which is great. Our Twitter page does very well also. So I think we have that, you know, a good growth pattern going there with social media. But also we do still mail a few things here and there. Our city guide is one project that we mail twice a year. So it's also part of letting residents know within that we have new channels to communicate with them, with our website that was redone shortly after I arrived here. The website we had was almost 10 years old, I think, prior to when I started here 5 years ago. We rebuilt that, and now we have a much more user-friendly website for residents to use. That's one of our main tools that we try and push them to, as well as our social media, because as you know, digital engagement is really where you're meeting people now.
Right.
So, you know, being there online is super important, and in a number of ways, you can't always rely on just social media. Sometimes you have to have a website and other means to communicate with them as well.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts of social media.
Hey guys, this is Gwen from the Wheeler Report and the host of #LocalGovMatters. Today we're interviewing somebody from the city of Appleton. We want to remind you that August 15th is City Selfie Day, so make sure you post your picture in front of your city hall.
Welcome back to #LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by the Communication Director for the City of Appleton, Chad Doran. So there are a lot of government entities out there that are completely afraid of social media, and for many reasons. It can be, I don't want to say the wrong thing and end up making people mad. I don't know how to deal with trolls or people who engage in an angry atmosphere. Mm-hmm. What do they know and where should they start?
I think you have to just kind of put one foot in front of the other, and you just have to get out there. Everything that you do from a starting point is really going to be trial and error, but there are plenty of examples out there now of good government doing social media and having that presence from the communication standpoint with residents. So there are plenty of people out there that other governments could rely on also. Start following them, pick their brain about what they've done, what's been successful, what hasn't worked. One of the things I always tell people is you can't be afraid of failure. Failure is not a good excuse to not do anything, but there are certainly times where you're going to make mistakes when it comes to social media. You're going to say something that upsets someone. You're going to post something that might upset someone. You're going to start a conversation that goes in a different direction than what you might have expected it to go. But you have to be willing to manage that and kind of deal with it as it evolves. Social media is always changing. People's habits and use of social media is always changing. One good example is like the Nextdoor app. you know, it was really built to be this like neighborhood communication tool, and now it's almost anything but. You know, the way that it was envisioned when it was built is not really what it's become, because people have just adapted its use to what they feel like it's become. It's almost, right. I mean, in some respects, it could be like a Craigslist on, you right. know, online. It's like, you know, it certainly has its aspects of neighborhood communication, but it's so many other things too.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be able to adapt to how people are using these social media platforms as well.
Do you have a social media procedure manual that you go through with employees of, here's who's allowed to use our social media, here's who's not allowed to use our social media, here's what you are allowed to do, here's suggestions of things you shouldn't do. Do you go through that with them, and do you have that all written out?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of those key things, I think, that if you're thinking about dipping your toes in the social media waters as a government agency, you need to have a policy in place for guiding, you know, what platforms you're going to use, who's going to run them, how you're going to respond, the types of content that you're going to post, just a host of different things that you should really lay out before you really get going. You know, just before you make that even first post, because it, from there, it just, you know, it's all bets are off in terms of like what people are going to, you know, say and do. So having that guidance there is really important, and it's a nice fallback for you when you have questions about how you should respond to something, maybe you shouldn't, and just how you deal with different situations. We created ours a couple of years ago, but there are also tons of great examples out there that other governments are willing to share. The great thing about government is you can just steal from one another freely, because you know, we're all trying to accomplish the same goals here. And I found that other communicators in local government are more than willing to share their ideas. They always want to hear ideas about things that you're doing as well, because I think in the end, we all have that same goal. We want our residents in our community to sort of be up to speed, be in the know, and to be participating in local government. And I think when we all have that same goal, it's not a problem about sharing those kinds of ideas.
The research I've done shows that some of the things that government can use social media for vary, and some of them are really good at it and some of them are not. So research breaks down government social media into the following categories: connecting with your community, broadcasting information, encouraging participation, self-promoting or branding your city or community, mm-hmm. talent recruiting, and collecting feedback from the citizens. Do you do all of these things, and what do you think you're effective at, and what do you think you're still working towards?
Yeah, I think it is all of those things, definitely. And I would say we do all of those things, and I would also say we can improve at all of those things. You know, you have to be willing to kind of touch on all of those areas. Recruiting is a big one. All local governments right now are struggling with trying to recruit, young, talented workers to replace their aging workforce, those people who have been with, you know, the community 30-plus years. There's a lot of knowledge in those people that are going away. So, you know, trying to attract young people to a government job that might not be as interesting as it was 20, 30, 40 some years ago for different people, is a challenge. But using social media is one way to kind of reach them and show them, you know, the inside of how government works and that it can be fun. So that's one way to do it. Certainly branding is a big piece of that as well. We found that certain things that we do, we brand one of our popular weekly features is called like our What's Your Question Wednesday post. And it features the same graphic. It goes out at the same time every Wednesday at 1:00. And I know that it works because by 1:05, there's probably 15 questions or more there waiting for us to answer. People are literally just waiting and refreshing their browser to see like when the question pops up at 1:00 on Wednesday. So kind of almost train people, you know, to know that that's there. And that's a place they come all the time to ask us questions. So that branding aspect of that, I think, is really part of what has made that particular post itself very popular. Mm-hmm. And also just kind of the information and what that post is about is as well.
But before we started recording, one of the things that you were talking about is how you are engaging in social media with the storms that came through, and that mm-hmm. people were looking for information from you. How did you go about deciding what needed to be out on social media, and was it just your community you were engaging?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was home during the storm on a Saturday, and saw it come through. And, you know, by my house, it wasn't maybe as bad as it was in other areas of the city, but I could tell it was a pretty strong storm, you know, heard all the warnings. And so my first thought was, you know, I should just be checking Twitter and see if there's reports of damage or anything like that. And only a few minutes after the storm started, we started to get people asking us about, hey, a tree's down on my property. You know, it's the city's terrace tree. What do we do? People started sharing pictures of us with, you know, down trees and other damage, power outages, asking, you know, when is my power going to be back on? What's happening? So I knew right away that it had to be pretty severe, and started just kind of collecting all that information that residents were sharing with us and then pushing it back out to them to say, here's what we're hearing. There are some major issues in the city. This part of the city, you know, has a lot of trees down. We're hearing issues with power outages on the southeast side of the city. You know, then we heard more about the north side of the city. And so kind of getting that feedback from residents helped us kind of gauge where the damage was. And maybe a couple hours after the event happened, the mayor called me and said, hey, we've got a lot of damage. You know, we think we're going to open our emergency operations center. We're going to need you to come in. And I said, don't worry about it. I've already shared stuff on Facebook and Twitter for the last, you know, 2 hours or so. We're on top of it. But, you know, yes, I'll come in and we'll work together to kind of create our plan and help push more information out to residents from that standpoint. So, you know, social media doesn't take long for things to get around. And that's, you know, most of the time can be a real benefit. Sometimes it's a bit of a detriment. But in this case, it was huge to help us gauge how bad the damage was throughout the city.
So, you know, you talked about recruiting young people to come, and you talk about social media being able to put information out there to your residents. You know, one of the things that we do in communication, whether you're a reporter or somebody in journalism or somebody just in communication in general, is meet people where they are. So, you know, clearly in some of your aging communities, they might not be on Twitter. They might not know that the trees are down. So they're probably watching the local news and getting the local news. But yet those reporters are probably getting a lot of their information from you off of social media, because it's an instantaneous feed. So it's kind of you're serving a purpose to one group of people where you're meeting them where they get that information so that they can distribute it to other places.
Absolutely. And we know that the news media is a huge partner for us in instances specifically like that, where their job is the same as what our job is. Their goal is the same as ours, to help get information out to residents about the very same thing. And so we would tag them in our posts that we shared. We were emailing them information, you know, about what we knew and what was happening. And they were really helpful as well to help amplify that message for us, because we know we can't reach everybody via social media. But we know that there are a lot of people that use it and hope that they can help spread the word in other ways too. You know, in the middle of a storm like that, where it's an instantaneous sort of incident, people are looking for instant information. Mailing them something 3 days later is really not all that helpful.
Right.
So that's where that sort of online presence really becomes important. And we know it's important to everyone, not just people in Appleton, because we were hearing from residents in other nearby communities that were asking us for information about what was happening in their community, because their community didn't have a social media presence. So they were struggling to find out what was going on, and they were sort of following what we were posting to say, hey, if this is what's happening in Appleton, it's probably similar to what's happening here, without really knowing from their own government what was happening.
Right. What types of things do you tell people to avoid in social media, or avoid in social media interactions?
You know, I think you have to be careful how you deal with certain people. You know, the trolls, per se, is you know, a title that a lot of people give. I don't really like the term. I think a lot of times you certainly could have people who really just want to cause trouble for no particular reason, and you deal with them in a certain way. But I think what a lot of times, especially with government, what you find is just perpetually angry residents, maybe, who have somewhat at least of a legitimate gripe, but just don't really want to see, you know, the city's point of view. And I don't think that you treat them necessarily the same. You know, you try and give them the information to answer their questions, even though you might know that they're not necessarily going to, you know, believe it or listen to it or agree with it. I think you're still doing your job by putting the information in their hands. And one of the things that I try and tell, you know, local government communicators that I've noticed is, when you let the so-called trolls, or those really angry people who just want to cause trouble, sort of dominate your pages, you get less interaction from other people who really have legitimate questions or who really want to add their opinion to something. They don't feel welcome, because they're concerned that they're going to be you know, bullied or yelled at by someone, and they don't like that, and so they may stay away from your page. And so there, I think for a number of years there was this sort of rule of thumb, so to speak, that you just like ignore the trolls. And I've really never believed that was a good way to go about dealing with them, because they just dominate your page then, and you're not getting the true interaction that you really want. You're not getting an accurate gauge of feedback from residents in that way. So I think you have to kind of really engage them head on, but you have to be careful too. Sometimes it can get a little snarky, I think, but as long as you're kind of refuting them with facts, I think that, you know, shows those people who may start to have believed what those people were selling, go, oh, well, the city actually says that's not right, and here's what is actually happening. So you need to be there to be that source of information, because you don't want people believing something that's not true that they may have heard from a friend or a neighbor or someone who, you know, they don't know is just trying to cause trouble on your social media pages.
Okay. Stay tuned. There's more to come on social media for local government.
Hi, I'm Bernie Coughlin with the City of Rona Police Department. We're asking you to listen to hashtag LocalGovMatters.
You're listening to hashtag LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guest is Chad Dorn, Communications Director for the City of Appleton. What do you love the most about using social media in your job?
I think the interaction with our residents. I mentioned our What's Your Question Wednesday post is one that has really become as much about having fun with our residents as it is about sharing information with them. We have a lot of people that come on the page every Wednesday on that particular post just to ask us silly questions about, hey, how was your weekend? What'd you have for lunch today? You know, are you going down to the park later? Or, you know, just things that don't necessarily have to do with government matters. And I think that sort of fun interaction is great, because when you make your page fun and engaging, people are drawn to it. It's what they look for on social media. They're not necessarily trying to follow people just that, you know, to have gripes with or because they're looking for confrontation. I don't think anybody intentionally seeks that out. But when you give them content that's interesting and even a little bit fun, I think it's refreshing coming from a local government. And then when you have them there for that, you also have them there for information about that emergency because of the storm or other really important topics that you want feedback on. So, you know, having fun, using humor is a way to sort of build that audience and build that engagement a little bit, so that when you have something more important to tell your community, they're there for that as well. And that sort of helps amplify that message somewhat too.
So what social media platforms does the City of Appleton use?
We use a number of them kind of across different departments. Our main pages are Facebook, really, for the most part, and Twitter. A couple of our departments use Instagram and YouTube as well. Our police department has a couple of additional ones that they use for community reporting of incidents and things like that. But really, Facebook and Twitter, I think, like a lot of local governments, are your primary ones. Instagram is really almost in some ways passing Twitter and really catching up to Facebook. YouTube also, though, is huge, because the majority of people online like to watch videos. And so we know that that's an area that's really changing the landscape, and government needs to be able to adapt to that too. You need to be able to share your message via video, because chances are you're going to get more people to watch it than you are to get them to read it. So I think that's something that, as the trends of how people consume things on social media change, government needs to be aware of that and be willing to adapt and change to that as well.
Okay. What else would you like to share about your job? You know, I always try to give the people that I talk to an opportunity to bring out something that I wasn't aware of or something that I didn't know. So what would you like to add to the conversation?
I think, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do with our communication efforts is really put a little bit of personality into it. And I think that's really important, especially when it comes to social media, that you give your government pages a bit of personality. And if the fewer people that you have manage those pages, the better off you are, because your personality might be different than mine. You know, the next year, your park and rec department's social media person's personality might be different than yours. So, you know, if you have multiple people managing the same page, it's hard to really put that same identity on it. You can certainly do that somewhat, but the fewer people that manage it, the more likely you are to kind of get your audience attuned to a certain personality. Thankfully, I think our audience seems to like the personality that I bring, the fun, the humor. My kids don't necessarily always think I'm funny, but again, I have a teenager and some younger children who also help me sort of understand how younger people are using social media, which is a great benefit, because I think we always, again, have to be adaptable to the ways, different ways people are using social media. So they're, as much as they don't like it, I like to bounce things off them once in a while to kind of help keep us in tune with like the younger audience, because that's a big part of where we're trying to get information out to is younger people, because we know they're the ones who use social media the most. But I think I really like to put, you know, a little bit of personality into everything that we do. And I think it's kind of fun that way, and it gets people to respond to us. So I think that's really fun. And that's one of the things I try and tell other government also, that you really just need to it's okay to be personable. It's okay for people to see that you as the government are not just the government. You're their friends and neighbors too. You live in the community. You pay the same taxes they pay. You have to drive on the same roads. You know, when a big project comes up that may increase your taxes, it's going to increase theirs too. So it's not like, you know, they feel any less of a burden when those kinds of things happen. So I think sort of humanizing government is really important. And I think we've done that really well across all of our departments. You know, our Parks and Rec department is another great example. They're like, we call them the fun bunch. you know, Park and Rec in general is just more sort of fun oriented. Our staff there takes it to another level, and they get great engagement from their followers on social media because of the fun things that they do and really showing that recreation and stuff is fun. So I think that's just something that really government needs to find that niche in their community and what resonates with them, and then run with it. And don't be afraid to be different. I think being different is good. Every community, you know, the makeup of your community is different here in Appleton than it is in Menasha, or than it is in Madison or Milwaukee. And so every community is going to have a little bit different flavor to it. And when you find what works, you kind of stick with it and run with it.
So if I can summarize, you need to put personality into it and make sure that people understand there's a human behind the government and the entities, but have fewer people manage it, and manage it with a consistent tone, which means not turning over your social media to your intern just because they're young and they understand social media, but saying, how can our intern understand or help us better understand how we can use social media?
Yeah, I think some people have this impression that social media is easy and anyone can do it.
Nope.
It's not that way at all. And I say this about communication in general. Everyone communicates every day. Not everyone does it well. Good communication, people don't really pay attention to. It's just there. Bad communication is when you get in trouble. When the storm hits and you're not telling your residents what's going on, that's when they're angry and they know that you don't have good communication with them. When you do great work, sometimes you'll hear from some people who say, you guys did awesome, thanks so much for keeping us up to date. But generally people just consume it and move on.
Right.
So you kind of know you're satisfying them that way when you don't hear from them that you're doing a bad job.
Well, that's the end of today's podcast. Thank you for letting me come to Appleton and take some time out of your Wednesday. I know in a little while you have a Wednesday question coming up. I invite our listeners to go to www.thewheelerreport.com and click on our podcast blog so that they can get more information and find out a little bit more about the city of Appleton as well. Thank you to our partners in community media, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, and Oshkosh Radio 101.9 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on the podcast, and thank you to Jackie Johnson for doing our sound editing.